Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Joey and Anna on Grand Army on Netflix. Nobody, like, no friends without any romantic feelings literally spend that much time in each other's arms. From personal experience, that's just not what you do. Like, she had a part-time job in Anna's arms and, like, dead ass said, no, I'm not gonna date this dude because she said not to, and that was that, period, point blank. Like, why the second half of that season? Anyways,
oh god, throw it away.
What up, cabronis?
What's popping, chingonis?
We never introduce ourselves anymore. You're the cabrona. You are fried babita.
You are the chingona. You are maite.
That's correct. Last time that I checked, I don't know. Pronouns, she, her, for myself.
I'm a she, they, for me. But, you know, no one ever goes by the they part. You know, this is a joke on Twitter.
Yeah. She theys, he theys, and then the hand in the middle, never getting called they.
That's a fucking fact. But yeah. Oh my god. Speaking of gender. Speaking of identity.
Speaking of coming out, Elliot Page is now out as trans, pronouns he, they. And I'm really excited for them, actually. They were in Umbrella Academy, Juno, Hard Candy.
Oscar nominated trans actor.
Since he was a child, right? Like, been an actor for a really long time. So, very, very excited for them. Stoked on the attention it's getting, even though, you know, a lot of other trans folk don't get the same attention.
I mean, he said it in the letter when he came out. He actually made it about black and brown trans folk instead of centering himself.
It's definitely letter. Not on Elliot. It's on, like, the people, you know.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of messed up. There was a lot of people still using his dead name, like, all over the place.
Yeah,
and not like deleting their tweets and not apologizing, because it's one thing to not know what the fuck you're doing. Obviously, TMZ never knows what the fuck they're doing, but like everyone else, it's not an excuse. But shout out to Umbrella Academy; they're already updating all the credits on the show. Cool. And nice. They're fixing everything to make it match his pronouns. So I'm excited. Very nice.
Speaking of Netflix, it's probably taken over my life now that I'm watching TV again. I've gotten so many shows in, starting with what I feel like I knew that I was gonna love this show. That's why I avoided it for so long. But I finally watched Queen's Gambit.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Are you an Anya Taylor-Joy stan now?
Sort of. I mean,
she's amazing.
It was pretty good, dude. Like, I think it was an interesting story. I don't know how much further to get into it, but yeah, I'm super down for that shit. I hope that they don't try to make a season 2. That would be really stupid. Please don't.
Yeah, it was one of those things that it's good one go. Let's never do it again. Like a real novella, you know. They only do one.
They one just keep going for 5 months every single day, 5 days a week, and then they stop. Never come back.
That's how I like it. That's how I like that shit. Shout out to our white Latina, our white Tina out here making moves. I mean, I still can't do it. She still looks like Chloe from Chloe and Halle, but like the white Tina version. But shout
That's
out to her.
So
I guess.
Interesting. I thought she looked like that one character on that second Goofy movie.
Oh,
the real slick one with the hat. I don't know.
Yeah, I do know the one that looks like. You posted it. Yeah, that's what is the extremely Goofy movie?
The one about skateboarding.
That was a good one.
Another Netflix show that took over my life, The Crown. Yeah. Okay.
So I have questions. Did you just start watching this white mess, or did you, like...
I watched the first season of The Crown. I didn't finish it, but I watched it a long time ago, like, when it just came out. But I had stopped and had no... I was like, I'm going to come back to this, and I would say that for years and years and years. And finally, I had a reason to, because Diana, you know? And I don't know what the Latinx obsession is with Diana, but everybody loves her. So.
Worldwide obsession with Diana. Like,
yeah. I love it. I love
that. I remember when she died. That's so crazy. Like, I don't know. There has to be something to do with, like, why, like, Latinos or Whitinos are obsessed with Princess Diana solely. Like,
yeah.
But no that idea. Entire series is like chef's kiss. Like, I love watching white on white crime, white people being mean to each other. I love it because they ain't got someone nothing to do with me.
Government screwing up, not just ours.
You get, yeah. I mean, the acting, like, wow. I love Olivia Coleman. Just
I love Olivia Coleman. I wish her portrayal of the
queen.
Yeah, I wish they hadn't cast such a handsome person to be, is it Prince Charles?
Oh, yeah, the son, Prince Charles. Yeah, he was also the actor in God's Own Country.
Not Prince Charles.
Who? Her husband? Prince Philip was handsome, though. He was a very handsome racist.
I looked at pictures of IRL Philip. Like, I'm not talking about the first two seasons. I'm talking about the third and fourth season version of him. Like, that man got ugly real fast. I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I mean, I mean, the queen isn't that pretty either. So, I mean, but here we go.
She's the main character, though. I don't know. I think they was She's, fine.
I think the first two seasons, I forgot who they cast. She was an incredible actress, and
she's great. She was, she played the American version of... what's that fucking movie called? Oh my god, I can't. The girl the spider tattoo, the dragon yes. tattoo. The girl yes. with the dragon tattoo, the American girl version.
Yeah, I don't know why they tried to remake that. That
me neither. Like, the first ones were so good. Moving on. The last one that took over my life, and I think I literally finished it yesterday and today, mm-hmm. was Grand Army.
Oh god.
Which I had avoided. I knew there was a couple of queer characters, but I heard nothing about, like, girl queer characters, so I was like, I'll put it off. But I got a grand review of it from my neighbor, and so I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. It kind of exceeded my expectations. I thought it was going to be whack, and I thought it was going to be really dystopic for some reason, which it's not. It's really, like, modern, like... high school-y shit, right? I don't know. It reminds me of Good Trouble, but, like, high school version. The way that, like, the main characters are so spread out.
Yeah, and you can see the message right there.
Yeah, they're not PSA-y, but, like, almost kinda. Could be.
They're verging on that. Like, yeah, they're almost a PSA.
Getting there. Like, they're very obviously trying to be political, which, fuck it. And that's kind of what... you know, Gen Zers are like these days, so who knows.
Yeah, I tried watching it. I got through like the first six episodes. I would skip around because I had no interest in white mess, and then I just I was like, okay, I get it,
watching it all the way through. The last bit of it is kind of interesting.
When it got good?
It kind of is the same amount of good all the way through, but I just think that some of the experiences are, like, really strong and really accurate. Like, there's, not sorry to slightly spoil it, I won't say who and I won't say when, but there's a character that her mom is trying to, like, get her to marry this guy to get him papers, and his family will pay her family a bunch of money. I'm like, that's, you know, something that's that real. Has been around my life a lot. So it was really cool to see it on screen, and a little painful, you know? So
that's it's real. It's a real experience. So but it's just there was like some controversy before the show came out, where I think the POC writers, I think there weren't too many, went to the white woman director with complaints about how they were writing several of the characters, and instead of listening to them, I think she went to HR. I think she got them fired. It was that's why I was like, no, like, I'm looking at it through the lens of like. That tweet, you know, like, somebody was just like, nah, like, fuck that, you're gonna think it's all this stuff, but they fired us. So
yeah, you should help us and link us to all that, because I hadn't seen anything about it.
Okay, I'm gonna look for it. This is all hearsay. This is all rumor. Okay. It's important allegedly to mention
it's hearsay.
Hearsay, allegedly. I'm gonna look for it, but it's a alleged. You know,
that'd be great. Because I would want to see it.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know. I was looking at it through that lens. So we'll see. I can't go back to watch it. It just, I'm too old. It's not for me. I really tried it. I gave it like 4 or 5 episodes, and I downloaded the whole thing and tried to watch it on these flights, and I was just like, I'm too old. I'm old. Yeah. I'm old fart now. So it wasn't speaking to me, but I have been watching different White Mess. The same as you, but I was watching The Undoing with Nicole Kidman, and goddamn.
Yeah, I finished that yesterday. I don't know why I found that show to be so fucking boring. I couldn't enjoy it, but I had to finish it. I had to see it through.
Oh, but because that's not a show that I think is binge-worthy. I think it's a show that cliffhanger after cliffhanger. Like, that's the only reason you stick around, because you're just like, come on, just tell me. Like, I want my guest to be right. So that's the only reason I watched it, is because I wanted to be right, and I was mostly right, but not in the ways I wanted to be. But Nicole Kidman is acting her ass off, and white people are being super white in this. And I think whoever wrote this, like the white people that are rich, are very self-aware. So shout out to Nicole Kidman for producing and getting a white female director. I mean, small step for white girls. I mean, it was good though, and the acting is great, and so I'm not gonna trash that. And I watched the whole damn thing, so shout outs to The Undoing.
Well, there you go.
I started another show called Industry on HBO, and
yeah, I finished that one too.
What'd you think?
They dropped the whole thing recently. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, I haven't finished the whole thing because I was doing other stuff, but
I had higher expectations for it because I watched the first like 2 episodes, and then I went away from it, and I came back and I watched the first 2 episodes, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna like this. Like, this is interesting to me. But by the end of it, I found myself not able to connect with any individual character. I thought that they were all kind of like, eh. But the overall story was really good. And it's just one of those things where I was just like, I don't care about any of these people. You know?
I think same. I wasn't finding myself that interested other than in the main character. Everyone else. Well, I think she's the main character to me.
Yeah. The American girl. With her, it's like I got the closest to wanting to feel something, but I also was like, quit fucking up. So I don't know.
I mean, it felt like a real portrayal of like the way business and the way industry works, like corporate America works. So I think they nailed that, like the way it really is. Like, people are ass to each other. And mm-hmm. I think they portrayed that accurately. So I was like, oh shit, like corporate UK, it's the same shit everywhere. Capitalism is the same everywhere, right? So I'm okay with it. I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see how you finish it.
But yeah, so
just I guess one last note before we get started is Selena, either depending on where you're listening to this, either just came out or is about to come out, and we won't be able to say shit about it until like January because we're taking the holidays off. So that's your fair warning, though we will probably drop a couple of things for you guys to listen to. We just won't have anything current, so that is your heads up from CYC.
Yeah, give some bitches some breaks. Like, it's gonna be stressful for a lot of people. Like, this whole month is pretty stressful, so just stay safe, y'all. Please don't do anything wild. A lot of people usually wild out around holidays because, you know, sadness. So I'm giving y'all a fucking internet hug right now, and it's gonna be okay. So because I mean, you know, the holidays aren't always happy for everybody, so
yeah,
hugs.
Absolutely, we are here. We have open DMs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get started. As always, in chronological order and in true holiday spirit, let's get going.
All right. So, happy holidays, queers. Today's gonna be a lot of motherfucking mess. We're gonna start with a nice dose of gay Catholic propaganda. Shout out to Yvonne and Gloria for that review. Shout out to them. I'm gonna be talking about the lovely propaganda that I actually enjoyed. A New York Christmas wedding. What are you going to be talking about today?
I'm going to be talking about the unhappiest season. I mean, the happiest season.
No, you got it right the first time. Yeah, that's... Oh, Lord. We'll get to that one. But did you watch A New York Christmas Wedding?
I did. it was a lot first of what I expected.
First impressions, ma'am. I want yours.
Like... it's really what I expected. The production was, the writing, specifically the dialogue, made me want to gouge my eyes out a little bit. But I really, really love certain parts of it that I'm going to let you get to before I butt in with my opinion.
Okay. All right. So, y'all, New York Christmas Wedding came out this year, 2020, if you're listening to it this year, on Netflix. It is... written, directed, and also semi-starring the director Otaha Abit. I apologize if I said your name wrong. He is a Black queer writer, director, actor, and he wrote, directed all this shit. And so I'm kind of impressed, honestly. Let me get to that. I want to talk about his identity because it's actually pretty rare, right?
Like,
he's the son of Nigerian immigrants, and he's also a queer Black man. So for him to have made this, it's not a Hollywood production, y'all. It's low budget as expected, and the acting, yes, all of it, yes. It is what low budget means, but at the same time, there's like an actual diversity to this movie that we always ask for. And that's kind of the problem. You know, we get one thing and we don't get the rest. We get great diversity. It looks like a semi-honest portrayal of what like New York even looks like and the way New York looks. Like, I'm talking ethno-socioeconomic wise, right? Like, that was pretty interesting and cool to me. The cast, the lead of this movie is a Black woman. Her name is Nia Fairweather. She plays Jennifer. Her co-star, co-actress, love interest is Adriana DeMeo. She plays Gabriella. And it's you know, maybe it's not exactly what we ask for all the time, but I don't give a shit. A Black queer man wrote this, directed it, put a Black woman as the lead, put Italians on the side as they deserve to be. But, you know, he centered people of color and Black women. So I think that's really special and cool within itself. And it's what I ask the bare minimum of movies to do. And at least he's actually the son of Nigerian parents. So on top of that, you get this immigrant point of view and a very New York, Queens specifically, point of view, because Queens is very different from the rest of New York. So I thought also that was a very important thing to talk about, which he's already seasoned this more than anything else besides Saving Face out there. So, you know, when you want to talk shit about Chris's movies and being closeted and all this shit, remind yourselves that Saving Face exists, always has existed, and y'all just refuse to look at it. Anyways, this movie, it wasn't perfect. It was gay Catholic propaganda. The story is about Jennifer, a woman in crisis. She's trying to figure out whether she wants to get married to her fiancé, David. She's having some issues because Christmas is literally the worst time of year for her. She's lost everyone in her family, her mother, her father. And she's mourning the loss of her ex-best friend, Gabriella, who also passed her. And holidays are a hard time for people and a hard time for her. So, she happens to run across her guardian angel, and it's already corny. There's a guardian angel.
It's a little sci-fi, a little time warpy.
There's an alternate universe, y'all. Mm-hmm. Like, come on! I love sci-fi and God, and you combine those ideas. Here we go. Close
this
enough.
Is the GCU, the Gay Cinematic Universe.
The Gay Cinematic Universe, and she gets transported with the help of her guardian angel, who's also a queer man, and she gets transported.
That we know of.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
He never says that, but he's a little queer presenting, I suppose.
He's queer presenting.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means, right? And she gets thrown into this alternate universe where all her dreams are still coming true, and her father is still alive, Gabriella is still alive, And the whole plot of this movie is them trying to get gay Catholic married. And it kind of, you think you're watching a love story. You think you're going to watch them fall in love or some shit. Nope. They said, fuck that story. We're going to just put in propaganda, gay Catholic propaganda, and the whole movie is them arguing with the priest, and that's like the whole thing. Like, let's marry us, we're gay people, we deserve it. And honestly, why the fuck not? You know, a lot of people were mad because there was a lot of Christianity in this movie, and I'm not mad at it. Like, I think gay people trying to get married in the church is not a revolutionary idea. I think it's something a lot of people have been fighting for, and I think gay people can be Catholic and religious if they want to be. And if they want to get gay married in a church, then why the fuck are y'all mad? Like, yeah, you know, you don't have to. Religion's a really hard topic for people. I understand a lot of people have different experiences with religion. And for the people that still choose to be religious, I think that's between them and God, and that's their business. And if y'all got a problem with the way other people, you know, peacefully mind their business and don't hurt nobody, then y'all need to, you know, reevaluate y'all's values. But anyways, what are your first impressions? Then I'll get into the rest, because there isn't much other than this shit's mess, and I don't want to ruin too much of it. So what did you think?
It was a little pro-lifey to me, like very light, but had some of that. I already said my piece kind of at the beginning of the writing. Mm-hmm. Made me so angry. I did not like it at all. But mm-hmm. there were scenes with like younger versions of two of the characters that were adorable, and the ending was as good as an ending can get. I loved the ending quite a bit, like mm-hmm. in comparison to any other like lesbian movie that I've seen in a very long time. I can't remember an ending being that sweet. So I'm very stoked about that. Like, if you want something that isn't going to destroy you, maybe check this out. I don't know. The one thing I will say, because I did a little TikTok about this, somebody like brought my attention to the fact that the director, who's like you mentioned, he's an actor, he played Marsha P. Johnson in mm-hmm. a really awful
that's
really awful like HBO Stonewall movie, which a lot of people had trouble with that, and a problem with that, very rightfully so. You know, this like cisgender man being a trans woman. So that's the one thing that I gotta note about this director, though. You know, maybe he was just one of those struggling actors who'll take any role, but like, we need to be more mindful about that.
Yeah, honestly, I think he is just struggling, and I did see that in his IMDb credit. I don't know what to say about that other than like, it's already really hard for Black queer people to break in, you know, and for to be given a role in anything. I think, I don't know, put in the same situation, maybe I do the same thing back then, because it's not like that movie was made last year or something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's not so, like, super in the spotlight. This movie isn't really super in the spotlight, but I guess my only hope is that if he's in an interview or if he's talking to somebody and he like recalls this role, that he realizes and acknowledges that that was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's grown and changed. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, just because it's already hard enough being a Black man in America. So I'm just hoping, you know, he's learned from that experience and doesn't do it again. Doesn't seem to involve any of those ideas in this movie. If anything, it was just like a
very cisgender movie. So
yeah, it was very cis. It was a very cisgender movie, but I didn't expect anything else. This is a very, like, this movie would have been groundbreaking to me in 2009, right? Like, like, or maybe 2005, if I'm keeping it real. Like, 2005, if this movie would have came out with these ideas, the same dialogue, because I watched some very shitty white things, and trust me, they were just as, like, propagandy as this, and they're all white, so, and I put myself through those things, and they will not be mentioned here. And, I think we deserve trash. I think we deserve garbage. I think we deserve some low budget too. I also think we deserve better in general, but I think it's okay to have shitty things. You know, I think it's okay for queer people who are religious to see themselves in this, you know, like, that's fine. I think they should keep that and have that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But like you were saying, the beginning of the movie and the ending of the movie, it could be a whole separate thing. Where they show Jennifer and Gabriella as teenagers, as girls. And it really, those two scenes in the beginning and the end were the most important to the movie, because without, you know, those scenes happening, the whole movie wouldn't happen. The story, the plot was moved along because of that. So, I mean, shout out to those characters. Shout out to really sweet, cute, black, and Italian people.
Afro-Latinx, not to mention.
And yeah, she was portraying an Afro-Latinx character. So I think that's important to see that. I would have seen those two movies, those beginning and endings. Whatever they were doing with those, like, teenage flashback actors, those flashback scenes was better than the whole movie.
Yeah.
Seriously. I would watch that movie. I think they were headed in the right direction at the beginning, at the opening of this
movie. They were heading in the right direction. I'm sorry, the young actors were good. They were
very good.
Yeah.
Extremely believable. Extremely believable characters. I don't know. There's not much to say about this movie other than, like,
yeah, that's pretty
we deserve trash. And yeah, I'm going to stand by it. So I'm going to give it, like, 3 pan dulces. It's not even a sad ending. Like, you don't get... And no, it's not even toxic. You know, they're not... The propaganda's there. It's pro-lifey. But again, if you're pro-life and you don't, like, vote to hurt people, as long as you just keep that in your soul and not hurt people or judge people, then that's your business, you know? So, Gay Catholic Mess, I liked it. 3 panduces. What about you? Like, 5 cafecitos?
It's like, I want to just give it, like, based on the dialogue but alone, like, 3 cafecitos, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that guy. Based on, like, production value, acting, and the writing that I didn't like, I'm gonna say 2.5.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I liked this movie more to a point than your movie.
Yeah, I know that. I know how you feel.
You know how I feel. I like it so much more. Yeah, I was.
And don't get me wrong, I'm about to fucking tear this other movie apart. As much as I will probably rate it a little bit higher, I'm already gonna give you that warning, but.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's get started.
Let's do this. What we came here for.
For Javier's season, the breakdown. I guess let's start with asking the very obvious question of, the name's ironic, right? Like, because it's not. Javier's season came out on November 25th on Hulu, and it was directed and co-written by Clea DuVall, TV's token lesbian you might recognize her from, but I'm a cheerleader.
Damn.
More. I'm sorry, but she is. They just would throw her in all the time.
Yeah, they would.
This was shot in about a month, which was interesting to me, about a month before, like, right before quarantine really, really started. And that's probably why nobody thought that they should have to worry about Kristen Stewart's roots showing in random scenes, but... I guess
you paid attention to her roots.
No, they paid attention to me. They were there.
They paid attention to me. Okay. She didn't look musty. She looked clean.
Yeah, no, she looked good. I guess just to go ahead and give it like a quick spoiler-free summary for those of you who don't want to be spoiled. This is about two girlfriends, Harper and Abby. They're going to Harper's family home for Christmas. Harper has a toxic-ass family and hasn't come out to them, and chaos ensues, right? Like, well, it's really problematic. It's real toxic. You know, there's a lot of attractive people in this, and it's very, very white. That's all I can really say without spoiling it. So now we're going to get into it, and we're going to start from the top. Make it drop. That's so quick. I just got a text
message. Weak ass news.
I'm trying to like figure something out. Okay.
Weak ass news. Weak ass sex.
When I say at the beginning, I mean the beginning. The opening sequence is just a bunch of like animated pictures that shows their love story. And quite honestly, that would have been really useful to show in actuality so that we could actually see them falling in love,
because didn't get to see that.
Like, people need to like Harper, and that would have helped a lot, and they don't. But anyways, they're doing, once they get to the real shit, like, they're doing some cheesy Christmas thing that Harper wanted to do, and they end up on a roof of a stranger's house. And thinking back, that slightly reckless shit is Harper's idea again. And Abby just kind of goes with it. And Abby is the one that ends up eating shit and falling off the roof.
So it's a like, trend.
You know, like foreshadowing there. And then they have like their first on-screen kiss finally in this dark alley after running away, which is also a warning about what's to come. Not sure if it's on purpose, but there's a lot of warning signs here.
Subliminal messages. Like,
allegedly cute shit that's going on. So the next morning scene that happens is kind of the first indication that there's a serious communication issue between these two. Because it's obvious to any former or currently closeted gay that Harper has a like huge buyer's remorse about inviting Abby to spend Christmas with her family. She's backtracking hard, and you can see the fucking trauma in her eyes. Like, meanwhile, Abby's all like, ooh, yes, I am starting to believe in Christmas, or whatever. And she, like, literally goes fucking engagement ring shopping. I'm like, dude, it's just Christmas.
U-hauling marriage. Yeah, that sounds right.
And she goes with John. John is one of my favorite characters, played by Dan Levy, who lives rent-free inside my brain. And they have this whole cute conversation about asking her dad for his, like, Harper's dad for his blessing to marry her. And that sounds fucking great for someone with cute, accepting parents. Amazing. But we quickly find out the conflict of the whole last story, which is that Harper lied. She's a liar. You're a mean girl, Katie. You're a cringe. And Harper had told Abby that she was out and that her parents knew about her. But it turns out that that wasn't true. She hadn't gone through with this plan that she allegedly had. And she basically tells her as they're already on their way to their her parents' house.
On the way there.
And doesn't even bring it up like herself, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And so we get there, and I will give them so many props for this. They do such a good job of showing how complicated this family life is for her. Like, the high parent expectations, how Jane is treated. Like, she's everyone's favorite.
Oh, Jane. And
she kind of serves as this, like, Jane is Harper's sister. She serves as a cautionary tale, almost. Like, Harper doesn't want to be her, you know what I mean? Or even worse, like, Sloane, who's not any better, who's her other sister. And you just see Sloane, like, constantly trying to prove that her life is good enough and she's made good decisions. And, Dad, don't you need my help? You know what I mean? And so they do a really good job of making you cringe about that. And, and then, like, Jane, she's asked to do all these little menial tasks. Sloane, her only value is having a nuclear family. They do try to really, like, hone in on that, like, how shitty the situation is, right? And then, meanwhile, they show Harper as this, like, trophy that they just drag around. And she's kind of, like, latched onto that as the only, like, love she'll, receive from them, which is really fucking sad. That's the one thing that they do really well. But this is not the happiest season at all. But anyways, it goes from worse to worser, as my Vine Queen says. And there's this, like, recurring thing where you think that things are going to start to get better. Like, either Harper telling Abby, like, oh, this is not going to happen again, or I'm asking too much of you. You know, like, she has all these words that she says that turn out to be, like, empty promises. And it's...
Prometheth.
And it's hard to tell if she's doing this to, like, make Abby feel okay with everything, or if she's actually deluded herself into thinking that everything is going to be okay. But...
Delusion. Abby, it's delusion.
Mm-hmm. Abby ends up in a phone call with John where she explains everything that's going on in such an obvious fashion that really highlights how shitty the situation is. So that's fun. Like I said, it's just over and over kind of like shitty shit. We'll get to more about that later, but let's get to some of the fun shit. So Aubrey Plaza, everybody knows her, everybody loves her. We meet her pretty early in the film. In a very quick little way, her name is Riley. She's an ex of Harper's. That's all we know about her at this point. But later, at a party or some shit, I don't know, but they have a very imagine me and you look across the way between Abby and Riley. And that should have been illegal, first of all, for any film that wasn't planning to have them fuck. Like, who, excuse me, like, I think you could actually do a compilation of just their scenes, just Riley and Abby, and it would be 75% of an amazing rom-com by itself. Somebody please do that, and then just like link us at CUSC Podcast on Instagram or Twitter, like that. You can email us, like whatever the fuck you want. Anyways, moving on. It also doesn't help Harper's case and the love that everybody has for Riley, that the one of the few honestly joyful moments is when Abby is with Riley, and it's also paired with a fucked up story about Harper that we never really get to hear Harper's side of, and it's almost like a prophecy, the story that she's telling, right?
Fuck.
And then so Riley very quickly becomes this person of comfort for Abby, and when things go south with Harper, she's by her side, she's there. Like, that's what healthy relationships are. Not checking out when shit gets tough, not making decisions about your relationship without talking to the other person and icing them out. Like, you take them to a drag bar, okay? So I'll stop going on about Riley, but like, genuinely, I really only loved moments of this movie with her or John on screen.
Facts. Yeah, I mean, period. Riley, I mean, it didn't make sense to me to center so much of the movie around Riley and Harper getting to know each other, and then it leading absolutely nowhere.
It should have been illegal. It's just not right.
And then we didn't even get to see the relationship or the reason why Harper was in this relationship with, what's that white girl's name? The other musty girl?
Abby?
Abby. Yeah. I didn't understand why they were together. She, like, there was this tweet.
Think Abby is? Abby's Kristen Stewart.
Abby's Kristen Stewart?
Yeah. Harper is...
They're all white girls.
I know. It's hard.
They're all... All of them look musty, minus Aubrey Plaza, God, who's my favorite white Tina. No, I mean, okay, Abby is the only reason. Like, Abby and Riley's whole relationship makes sense. Harper's bitch ass, like, she wasn't even with her the whole movie. She didn't even go to the mall with her. There was just the really strange sociopathic behavior coming from Harper. And I get it. People's families are weird and complicated, and it's great to show a closeted queer woman in a very true experience. But at the same time, all of those things could be true, and then the rom-com is that homegirl Abby gets with Riley, right? Like, that's okay. Like, it's okay to be closeted. There was this like conversation that I saw the 55% having about you know.
Yeah, I have a whole thing about that. I'm with you.
That it's mostly the 55% that were like, oh well, this is okay. And I beg to differ. This is not okay. Like, this is toxic as fuck, because guess what? There are better movies about and with better nuance, better story, have better comedic timing, better writing, and it's called Saving Face. And if y'all keep giving me this bullshit, oh my God, about
Saving Face is a, it's kind of a an unreachable target. It almost feels like that,
it's unfair. It's unfair for these hoes. It's Saving Face is shitting on these hoes, and they wish. Happy season wishes. I mean, it was cold, right? I mean, close enough. It was New York, and it was cold. But, like, you know, the 55% we're having this conversation, well, like, you know, closeted people just, yes, you do. But it was called Saving Face, and they actually showed, and it wasn't, it was toxic, you know, within itself. They talked about that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is that they're not even 100% wrong, and I'll get into that. Before I get there, though, there's...
All right, 55%.
I'm not a part of it, all right?
No,
I'm
I know
you're
not. I'm
saying that there's some things to be talked about there. But there was also other red flags, right? Like, her friends don't know that she's gay. Like, everyone has found family. And if she doesn't have that, if she really was that alone, that's something they should have hammered in on. Because we need some Harper sympathy in this. There's none. There's nothing from her perspective. And, like, of course, the longer she's home, the worse that it gets. I've been through that. I get that. Like, the longer I'm around my family, like, the shittier I become. Like... But, you know, specifically towards Abby, there was gaslighting and her constantly
being around her ex. The whole movie.
Yeah, it was pretty fucked, right? So it's like, Abby gets to the point where she's thinking, and we're all on her side, of course, like, she's thinking, this person doesn't really care about me if she's treating me like this. She's thinking I need to leave. And that's a really hard moment when you're in love with that person. But we kind of, after this, after all of this, which is a really deep into the movie, we finally get some insight into Harper's struggle, which is down in the basement, out of sight, but she's talking to Abby, once again trying to band-aid shit with her words, not to be a dick about it, but she's almost on her way to redemption, because she's, like, really talking about, like, how hard it's been and this and this and that, and we're, like, at least a little bit receptive to this, but then they have, like, the next, like, you know, round against Abby, fucking box up, knockout type of where she, like, denies her, right? Like, Sloane outs her, which, fuck Sloane, fuck being outed, but then she's, like, this is, you know, like, it's the situation's shitty, but you're already there, and she's, like, oh, she's lying, and does all this stuff, and then, like, in the background of the scene, there's Miss Kristen Stewart in that fucking outfit with that blazer and shit. Like, how did anybody not know she was a lesbian? And
yeah.
So, yeah, at that point, she leaves, and she has a coming out conversation with John, who John has more sympathy for Harper than the rest of us in the lesbian world combined, because he's been through Harper's worst fear, or at least that's what we're assuming, because they never tell us that, they never show us that. But we're hearing these words from John and having conversations with other people about what is probably going on in Harper's mind. And but how can we make that connection, you know? It's kind of beautiful, and it's heart-wrenching to hear what John's saying. Like, someone's inability to come out doesn't mean that they don't love you. It's hard to hear that. But at this point in the movie and in what's going on, like, it's more than just about coming out that makes people and makes Abby not want to be with Harper, right? Like, it's not just about that. It's about,
yeah, it's
like,
not. That's why.
It's about a whole lot fucking more. So Abby still walks away, and they delayed this redemption for Harper by, like, an hour. And I really think that people needed a lot more time to grieve, and Abby needed more time, which, quite honestly, most likely would have ended up with her going with Riley. But I digress. Like, anyways, all of this brings me to a segment that we have not done in a long time, but it needs to be here right now, which is, what would Maitha do?
Okay. All right. Let's fix this. What would you do?
So, starting at the beginning, we don't see Harper struggle over telling Abby the truth, right? We don't see her even, like, slightly putting an effort towards easing her family into the idea of them. She's doing the exact opposite. Like, all of that, like, they could have done something there. They could have made us sympathize with her. There's all the opportunity. It was all there.
They just didn't do
it. Everywhere, in every corner, an opportunity to make us like her a little bit. And then other than that, this is a rom-com, right? Like, every single time that there's a scene that's supposed to be funny, like, not that there isn't some humor in them, but they don't help in easing the tension, which is the whole point of the comedy part of the rom-com. They add to the tension. Like, Sloane and Harper competing during ice skating and just jabbing at each other. There's no humor in that. Like, it's just overtly trauma-based. And all that shit, like, we can't even laugh. Like, and honestly, like, if they hadn't tried to be funny and just gone full drama, I mean, maybe this would have been a whole different thing. A whole different conversation. I don't know. But then there's, like, these little small moments that they have between Harper and Abby that I can relate to. I've dated people who are in the closet, and where you, like, sneak a touch or a look or a whatever, and I feel like they were so subtle and, like, surrounded by the danger of the situation and heteronormativity for us to even enjoy them. Like, I couldn't even enjoy those little moments. Once again, I'm gonna bring back Imagine Me and You, because they have a scene in that where they're watching a play, and the way that it was shot and the sound design, it elevated it to make it seem really special, and, like, they're the only two people in the room, and, like, no words were needed. You immediately knew, like, these two people, like, are connected, right? We didn't get any of that in Happiest Season, and they could have gone that way. They could have done something like that. It's not, that doesn't even require money, and they had money, clearly. But, so yeah, something that we didn't really get. And then so just basically to sum it up, trauma to forgivableness ratio, completely off. Like, we can't forgive, like, Harper for the amount of trauma that she inflicted. And I don't know, I would have at minimum just given more time and space for them to like work, for Harper to work on herself and to like realize what she's done and give a real apology and put some real work in, instead of just shouting from a car at a gas station, "I'm sorry," that's not enough. Words are not enough. It's like, quit saying "I'm sorry," do something about it. That's a message to everybody, not just Harper.
Like, the movie, I mean, it didn't have to be this way. Like you said, none of it had to be trauma-based. I just, there was so much money. They shouldn't have been an Aubrey Plaza character if they wanted us to really, really, really go for these two girls. Like, because there was enough going on with them without them adding another whole person.
A whole person to remind us how shitty Harper is. That's the whole point of Riley.
And Harper could been less shitty. Like, it was very simple. She didn't have to let her go to the mall by herself. Like, we could have had a funny moment with them at the mall. We could have had like a funny moment.
Like, even just some love at all. Like, I just didn't feel it. It was nothing.
Like, I just... And, you know, I'm not against... You know, there was that conversation about being closeted that John had with Abby outside. That was a very important conversation. Closeted people need to hear that. But also, closeted people should accept that, like, you can't hurt people that much and expect them to stay. Like, I mean, it's very simple. Like, you're closeted. Hey, I'm closeted. I don't want you to come. This is my situation. I'm more comfortable like, set if your boundaries you don't.
Yeah. Properly, and don't lie. The worst thing that you can do is lie to the person that you care about. Like, yes, I get, like, lying to, like, your parents. That shit. I mean, I did it. Everybody has done it. That's a part of being closeted. But this is a person that loves you. And
she would have understood, honestly, yeah, if you were no just like, hey,
to lie to.
Abby seemed nice. Like, you could have been like, hey, I'm closeted.
I didn't do it yet. Like, give it a
I'm not.
Minute. That's okay.
I'm not here. And but, you know, homegirl didn't have to be a sociopath. Like, it didn't have to go that far. Like, yeah. Why did she go hang out with her ex-boyfriend at all till 2 a.m?
Like, honestly, like,
I'm sorry,
she's
what?
Doing these things,
why did we see that man so much?
Yeah. If you're doing all these things, like, they need to explain that. They need to explain why she's doing these things, because otherwise we're just going to deduce shitty person. You know what I mean? Like, even in Love, Simon, where he was doing a bunch of shitty stuff, we at least got to see things from his perspective. And, you know,
I didn't hate his character. I was annoyed, but I didn't hate
him.
Yeah,
like, we knew he was making bad decisions, but we also knew why. And the why behind Harper was not there. Like,
not,
it was
not
like,
at all.
It was deduced by us, and it was deduced by John, and none of it was good. And, like, the apology was not good enough.
None of it was. And then Abby just accepting that kind of treatment to me was like, look, you said what you meant, you put your boundary up, and then you didn't follow through. And that's like a lot of therapy they're gonna have to go to, like, the both of them. Very
Part
expensive
two,
therapy.
Happiest season therapy.
Therapy forever, for the rest of their lives. Like, I mean, that's, she straight up said, this is not something I can, like, let go of. And then she suddenly does at a gas station? Like,
yeah,
that doesn't
make sense.
It didn't, it honestly, and that just showed me how, like, traumatized the writer was. I was like, yo, like, what have you been through? I'm sorry, girl. Like, this is not okay. Like, I don't know who told you it was. Like, seek therapy instead of writing happiest season. Go to therapy. You'd have a different story if you had gone to therapy. You could have written the same thing, but, it, you know, from a place of healing and self-awareness that obviously the writer doesn't have, if they think this is a cute ending to anybody's, like, relationship. I'm like, it's okay to be closeted, that's fine. People do it for safety reasons. It's fine to also not be with people who are closeted. That's fine. If you decided, hey, you know what, this is just too much for me, you're also allowed to leave. And that's the part that I was mad at, because the lesbians were like, oh, we just, yes, you do, but guess what, the other person doesn't have to stay. It's called, no, I don't have to deal with your bullshit, because I'm a grown person and I got my own problems. Yes, I love you, but goodbye, I love myself more. To me, that would have been a bit, like, even if she just left and she didn't end up with Harper, if she just left
with Riley,
not even, I mean, that would have been the dream, right? That would have been my Sandra Bullock while you were sleeping movie. But as long as she had left, like, honestly, that would have been enough for me, like, just not ending up with homegirl.
Not like that, you know what I mean? They try to wrap things up in, like, a nice little bow really quickly. Like, all of a sudden,
too much done.
Centering
too
Jane.
Much.
All of a
too, like, much done.
The trauma across the board, right? Like, they're including Abby. Like, they're walking through pride parades. and the dad is putting his family before political gain. Like, nothing happens that quickly. You know, your stripes don't change overnight. Like, it would have just been way more realistic to have everyone working at it and, like, fucking up a little bit and then doing better. Like, it's just, it moved way too fast. But I will say that I was really okay with Jane killing the fantasy literature game. That was
Jane
great.
Was that bitch. Jane was always that bitch. She was my favorite
she
character
was building
other than
a
John.
World. And last thought about Jane and John, actually, did we gal pals on them? Because I think that they found more than just friendship with each other, and we're over here like assuming that they're not together. I think that they definitely might be.
Yeah, they might be in, like, they could be in love, honestly. I
see it for them.
I do too. I think he really understood Jane, and Jane has so much self-love. She's like the only one in the show. She takes way too much abuse, honestly. Yeah. She loved herself a little more. She needs
very
more therapy.
Middle child energy.
She would have also stopped being at that house that much, you know? Also, I saw a tweet with Riley. It was like, girl, can you imagine the therapy it took for her to keep showing up to these Christmas things after she outed her? And I was like, look, everyone in this fucking show needs therapy. And it's just like proof that, like, whoever wrote this, honey, you and all your friends need therapy. All of y'all seek help, please. None of this is okay. Again, if you want to see a closeted movie where it's very obvious that, like, you know, saving face, that's the one.
Yeah.
If you want to be happy, because this ain't it, boo. This is not it. None of it. Like, why introduce Aubrey Plaza in all these amazing ass suits and not let us have her? She was the best part of waking up.
Okay.
Aubrey Plaza in my cup. You know, I'm in love. No, but it was poorly executed in that they had all the opportunity to make a completely different film that wasn't about trauma, wasn't about constant queer pain. And you know, for the 55% that think it's acceptable, I'll tell you right now.
Where are you getting this number? 55%? That's so interesting.
55% of white women voted for Trump.
I was like, there's
I'm talking about them because it's
to give
it's very clear who likes it.
The actual number must be lower though, because thanks to Happiest Season and my love for Aubrey Plaza in this film, I finally went TikTok viral, which I've been trying to do for a long time. And it's because everybody had the same opinion, like Harper, like Abby, Aubrey Plaza run over me with a car. Like, everybody had the same opinion.
No, it's kind of like it's kind of the same. And another reason why I'm comparing it to Trump is, like, you know, not all white people are racist, but like, what, the most of the people that are racist are white, you know? It's kind of the same thing with same concept I'm throwing with this, is like, not all people that liked this movie or hated this movie were white, but the only people I see praising it are white. So that's why I'm like the 55%. So that's where my brain goes, because it doesn't make sense. I'm a SAG Mercury, I apologize, but I don't. But anyways, like, that's the only reason I say that, because I saw a lot of, like, you know, the conversation, and I saw who was having it.
Yeah, there was definitely,
and it was them. It was definitely them. But it's okay. I'm not judging you if you like this movie, because I get
it. I'm honestly really jealous of you.
They had a good time.
Yeah.
I needed alcohol after this.
I was drunk as fuck.
I got drunk after.
We did a Hallmark you know, drinking
binge
game.
Oh god. Uh-huh.
It's like whenever somebody's ex shows up, whenever they go to a small town, you drink.
Yeah.
Whenever the cynic turns into a Christmas lover, you know, that kind of shit. So I was absolutely trashed by the end of this.
Yeah,
but anyways,
first 10 minutes.
I guess quite honestly, this had the exact opposite problem as A New York Christmas Wedding, because the production was fantastic, the acting was really good, the dialogue was actually quite good. It was purely plot and purely like lesbian feelings that they got wrong. So for that, I'll just give it like a 1.5 cafecito.
Oh wow, that's not...
pretty generous, right?
Yeah,
this is because I really, really love Dan Levy and Aubrey Plaza. That really saved it for me.
For me, it was Dan Levy, Aubrey Plaza, and Jane. For that, I'm gonna honestly give it like 2.5 panduces for them. In the fish, I really I want part
the
two
fish.
About the fish. And I just, Dan Levy taking care of animals, that was funny. Like, honestly,
it was great. John,
I just, I'm not gonna watch this movie ever again. I'm gonna do like Boys Don't Cry. Like, I stop it right before all the trauma happens. Just I'm gonna stop
through.
I'm just gonna
Aubrey, Jane, or John.
Yes, that's it. And then, you know, where Jane says she loves herself, and I'm like, girl, you're the only one. No one else does other than Dan Levy and you, and I hope y'all fall in love. But
I'm pretty sure they did. Personally,
give us that movie. I don't, you know, but anyways, 2.5.
Yeah, okay, fair. I mean, everybody has, you know, there's like the leftists who hate this movie, and then there's the rightists who really like you know what, I hate to compare it to that. I'm gonna stop. Okay, yeah.
No, I've been doing that. No, I mean, it wasn't bad in that way. I just, it's just seek help.
It was just a lot of trauma. But thanks for listening, guys. And once again, to remind you, we're technically off Christmas, New Year's, but we are going to release something for you guys to listen to. So stay tuned. Super quick, let's do some Patreon shout-outs. Patreon.com/CYC podcast in case you guys would like to fill the holes of our off weeks.
So Patreon people, we love you. Thank you for sticking through this however long you've been here. I love y'all. Y'all are the best. Be safe. Shout out to, is you sure this is right?
There's two Muddy Says now. It's a new one.
Oh wow. Okay, I think I did see something like that. Okay, well, let's start over. Hold on. All right, so shout out to Marisa. Thank you so much. You're the best. Shout out to Luna. I love your name. Shout out to Valerie. Shout out to Kiki's. That's a great name too, honestly. All y'all are beautiful and have beautiful names. Michelle, shout out Heather, shout out Rosaura, shout out our brother Veto, shout out Chrissy. Your dogs are beautiful. Shout out Aaron, I love you. Shout out Erica, shout out Muddy Mud. Oh, she's started like a company. We gotta link her. It's like selling like hot chocolate bomb things. It looks really awesome. Shout out Raciel, my Scorpio king. And shout out my baby mama, the mother of our child. Shout out to Glow, I love you. Yeah, thank y'all so much for sticking through it. Thank you for giving your broke bitches some money. Y'all have a happy December. It's my favorite month. It's my birthday month, so y'all be good.
And for Cafecito gang / some Arcoiris, we have Sandra, our latest and greatest. Mr. 55, thank you for your support. You're the best. Baby Jojo Negoro, I still am probably fucking that up. Thank you for your support. Thank you, Sulema and Edith and the mysterious R. Thank you, Mari, all the way from El Paso right now, hanging out. Tell Milo that I miss him. I know it's been like 5 days. Anyways. Mireya, thank you for supporting again. Noelle, you're the fucking best. And Alicia from Down Under, thank you for your support.
All right, y'all. I'm tired.
All right, well, listen, follow us at CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. You can go to our website for show notes at cabronasychingonas.com. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/CYC Podcast, where you can find that on our website. There's several levels of support. We have a ton of episodes now that we've been on there for like 2 years or something wild like that. You can follow my personal Twitter and Instagram at mytepanda, MYTE panda,
and I'm at fried papita on Twitter. Come find your girl.
I hope you guys have good holidays. I know it's a super hard time, so like we mentioned earlier, our inboxes are open for anybody that needs to talk or whatever. I don't know. Also, we have some merch if you want to get cozy. It's at Teespring. We'll link it in our bio.
Bye.
Bye.